Welcome to Meeple Night, a podcast about board games past, present, and future, and the stories behind them. In today's episode, we take a second look at some of our first reviews from Season 1, both from Stonemaier Games, Red Rising, and Wingspan. I'm your host, Andrew Caprell, and here's my co-host, Josh Knight.
Good evening, everyone. Sorry, I was just head-bodding like that meme, the cat, the white cat that just sits there, like, just jive into the music.
I feel like that's the closest intro we've had to the timing working out for the music, so.
That was good. It's almost like you're an expert. Makes perfect. And I'm the idiot. Well,
I wouldn't say that, but idiot and slightly less idiot for editing the music. That's about it.
Two wrongs make a right.
Two wrongs made a right.
Yeah, it's like negative and negative, and you put it together, and it's a positive. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, we've been, I think we're a week behind, maybe 2 weeks behind. How have you been?
I'm good. So Veronica has returned from abroad, and as soon as she's got back, her family has got health issues. Yeah. Her father is currently in the hospital as we speak, so we've been dealing with that. So that's been fun.
And they're in New York?
They're here now. Okay,
they live here, or near you.
Yep. Yeah. Nice. So, dealing with that, and it's nice to kind of talk through the providers and know what's going on and stuff like that. I think he may be getting even better treatment as a result of my occupation. So, we'll see. I don't know.
Insider treatment, access type,
It's been a whirlwind trying to deal with all that, and you know, it would be nice to focus on my first golf tournament of the year on Saturday, but with everything else going on, it's kind of hard to really focus on that personal piece.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's tough. I'm glad they're nearby to you guys, at least for being able to help them out and help take care wherever it's needed. So
it just shows how helpful they've been in our lives with kiddo and stuff like that. So the last two nights I've been solo dad with kiddo, and it's been fine. We've had a good time together and I enjoy it, but at the same time you realize how much relying on other people and stuff like that is beneficial to to keeping you sane.
We feel that.
Yeah, as evidenced by your return. How's that packing going?
I've been on pause a little bit lately. I had some trips and stuff for work. That's actually what caused our delay. I went to Austin in Texas, which was my first time in Texas ever.
Ever? But really?
Ever, yeah. Have you been to Austin or?
Never been to Austin. I did a month rotation down in San Antonio where I actually met Jeff for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's funny. Yeah, no, I think I would like to go to San Antonio based on what I hear or what I heard from some of the locals. I think Austin kind of got a lot of hype because it was packed. There's so much traffic and so many people, and it's just like, it was bigger than its britches kind of thing, right? Like it was not built to be a big city, and it is a big city right now.
It was meant to be, like, it's still top four, right? Because it was Dallas, Houston, San Antonio were the big three.
Yeah.
And then Austin was meant to be the next up. I mean, I'm sure El Paso was big, stuff like that.
Right, it's the capital, right? So,
yeah. But you're right.
It
had UT.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it has the university, and I think it was kind of one of those, like, foodie towns. And
Very much so. Did you have barbecue?
I did. I did have barbecue. I had, trying to think. I don't know if the barbecue is my favorite. We went to, we did a lot of, like, food truck type food.
Did you have to wait for the barbecue? Like long extended wait, like hours for to get the barbecue.
We didn't really.
Okay, so you didn't go to the good spots.
A bad place. Yeah.
That's the key. Okay, Because there's some spots that are just like, you kind of have to wait for about an hour or two. And if you don't get there super early, they sell out and like all that kind
of
stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, we didn't hit any of that. We mostly did the food, the taco side of it.
Okay.
And then like breakfast and lunch were mostly coffee shops because I work for a coffee shop. So
I'm it was disappointed kinda... you didn't get burrito like tacos for breakfast.
Oh yeah, we did. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because that was my favorite thing in San Antonio. We would call them bacos, breakfast tacos. I don't know if that was just us being weird white kids that weren't from Texas, but we loved the bacos at the hospital. We were also getting at the hospital like 3 and 4 in the morning. So like would have been good, but those were, they hit the spot and they had like different, oh yeah, I remember them to this day.
It's funny. Yeah.
Is this a podcast about food?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, the way my last couple of weeks were, I could probably do more on food than I could on board games, but that's okay because we're doing a look back this time.
We are doing a look back.
So I didn't have to do anything fresh.
No. So for listeners, what we decided to do, the name of today's episode is A Podcast Revisits Class. And the reason we chose class is because
we wanted a bunch of people to click on our podcast and listen for 6 minutes.
Oh, and answer questions. Don't forget that. So class is relevant to the game Red Rising, which was the first game that we reviewed on the podcast. And class also is how you categorize the birds, which will be discussed in the second game, Wingspan. So we decided to make it a little pun, or I don't know, maybe it was next level stuff, whatever. So podcast visits class.
We're either geniuses or idiots. It's one of the two.
Oh, definitely idiots. We're the genius.
I mean, dang it.
Genius, idiot.
Oh, okay. So we're just punny dads. That's all.
That's about it. So what I decided to do as a quick recap for those listeners that have sucked through us through the good times and the bad times, as well as those that are just now joining us, I'm going to do a very, again, going along the Concordia quick rule set. I remember my rules explanation for Red Rising put everybody to sleep, including myself. That was painful.
It was our first one.
It was the first one. We had no idea what we were doing. We still don't know what we're doing, so it's great. But I'm going to give a very, very brief rules overview just to kind of get your feet wet. And then we can kind of hit on some of the big topics and stuff like that. So Red Rising is a card game that actually involves a board. Now, you start with a hand of cards. Each card has a specific color to it, which corresponds to a class. Your goal is by the end of the game, you'll still have the same number of cards in your hand, plus or minus like one or two. But roughly, you're going to have the same number of cards in your hand at the end of the turn. And what you're trying to achieve is that each card is going to be worth a specific victory point by itself. And it's also going to have some text at the bottom saying maybe a specific card wants to be with a different specific card, or all these different cards combo off of one another. So your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to get the best, just say, 7 cards in your hand that all combo off of each other. There's other ways of getting victory points by going up tracks and getting these helium tokens, things like that. But that's the gist of it. It's a card game that happens to have a board. And is that a fair...
Yeah.
Quick rules.
Yeah, I think overview. That's good enough. Okay. And I mean, I guess we've never done this before, so I don't know. Are we approaching it through the same lens as we did with the review, or just kind of give it some overall thoughts?
Overall thoughts, like highlights. And that's why I thought of doing two games in one. This is just kind of broad. Where is it now? So we reviewed this game in 2021?
Yeah, May 12th, 2021 was the air date.
Yeah, so we're almost 3 years away from reviewing this game. So I kind of wanted to just quick highlights. Has it hit the table? What was things that you enjoyed about it? Things you still enjoy about it? And then the one thing I'm going to add, and you can play off of it too if you want, is what is something that's similar to it? What's a similar game? Maybe you like this style. What's something else? So like, I really love, when I think about bourbons, I really love this specific bourbon. What's a bourbon that corresponds to it, right?
What's the something game that's that similar I play to it? Instead, or think would or play if, instead, but don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But if you like it, be like, hey, I really like Red Rising.
You might want
to. I'd also this. Like this game too.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a recommendation. Hey, you like this. You might like this. Type deal. So I'll let you take it away.
Sure. I mean, so I'll start with the positive. So.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the things I like about this, I think the art is really good or pretty good. Mm-hmm. And the production value is good, with the exception of there was the color problem for
with our like edition
and pink or something. Yeah, so they did release plastic cubes that you could get instead, but if you wanted those really nice weighty metal cubes that it came with, there was kind of hard to decipher, and I'm not colorblind, yes. And it was hard to decipher between. I think it's either pink and purple, or I don't remember exactly which two colors were hard, but
can't tell. I don't remember, but I agree.
I can't tell. They actually all look the same. Now that I'm looking
at. That's also not.
I think when I reviewed it initially, I really liked the theming.
Yes.
I have now read the books, and this is probably my favorite book series. Do not like the theming at all. I don't feel that the theme does any justice or makes any sense to at least the way that I felt about the books. I think also the book series is my favorite, not because of the first book. I think it gets like book two is better than one, three is better than two, and then I love the last set, the last
interesting. Okay.
But
okay,
yeah. So I guess that kind of transitioned a little bit into things that I think it did pretty well. Do you want to do what you liked about it first, or do you want me to just do
all that's okay. I do find it interesting. I actually didn't mind the first book. I thought it was pretty exciting and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Again, you have to look at it from it's almost like the Brave New World. That book is really tough to read if you're really just sitting there and thinking about the atrocities associated with it.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, it's a novel. It's not true. It's stuff like that. So the first book I thought was good. The second book I got halfway through and I just hated it. I stopped reading. I stopped reading the trilogy. So the theme, I do think the cards, like, they have specific cards that they match off of each other. I think they tried to get theme. This is an abstract game. It's nothing short of an abstract theme that they tried to put a theme to it only because Jamie Stegmaier loved Red Rising.
Right. And that's why
he tried.
I think that's what I didn't like is he said he loves the game, but then I felt like he just kind of threw it on top of another game idea that he liked. And I think that whether you like I know you don't like the series as much, but this is mostly based on the first book anyways, or supposed to be. So but there's enough theme there. It's a book. It has that you could find a game that, could actually do it justice. I think.
I think I do agree. The art it's good. It's serviceable.
Yeah, some of them are better than others for sure. Like cards.
And I don't want to get too much down into the weeds, but I think they must have had they have three different artists listed, so that's why. Yeah.
So that's why some of it looks good and subjectively good.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So it's fine. A lot of production issues brought it down from that one. Now moving into how something that has this game held up over the last 3 years. This isn't something that we have come back to, and it's not something that Veronica has expressed any interest in. She did play a couple of games with me. I played it quite a bit solo because the solo AI was easy to run and I think I could play a game in about 20 minutes. So that was a positive, but this wasn't something that we've come back to. We really haven't had much interest in it. The theme means nothing to her. So, and again, if the theme is a pasted on abstract, the theme still means nothing to her. So it was one of those that we played it a bunch for the review. We played it a couple times after the review and it sat on the shelf for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty similar story to what happened to us. So before we moved, I decided I wanted to play it again just to know if I wanted to move it and keep it or what my plan was. And we took it out and played it a couple times and Nicole hated it. And I was kind of meh on it. And so it's like, well, if I feel meh and and she hates it, then it's it's not something we're gonna keep. So we've sold it, actually. Despite it being our first review game, was the kind of the sole reason I was holding on to it for a while. But
so I will say, you and I both are kind of talking negative about it, and we'll do a revisit of our scores at the end of this review. But I wanted to say, you want to hear something shocking?
What's that?
This is currently ranked 947th on BoardGameGeek.
What?
It's in the top 1,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't understand why.
Man, it's got a 7.0. Yeah.
7.0, but 947 is crazy.
I do think it probably has a little bit of the Stonemaier effect, and I don't know. I mean, I definitely suffered from that when we first got it. I thought the production value was super high and was just kind of excited about reviewing game. Yeah. Honestly, but.
So I thought of some stuff that this game is loosely based off of Fantasy Realms, which is a small deck of cards. It was nominated for the Spiel. It didn't win, but it was still nominated, so it deserved to be recognized. And a game that I actually own and play that Veronica really enjoys, that she's asked numerous times to bring it out, is actually a game called Marvel Remix. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 10, 15 bucks, little deck of cards. It's all based on Marvel. It includes the Iron Man Marvel's part as well as the X-Men. It has a little bit of theme. It has little icons on it. It's the same thing as this. Just get rid of the board, get rid of some of the complexity. Quick, snappy, easy to play, about a 15-minute game. This on here, Board Game Geek says 45 minutes to 60 minutes. I remember we played it with Jeff, and I think it took like an hour and a half to play Red Rising. So these are kind of detractors. If you like some of the meat associated with this game, but the length or the usability are issues, Fantasy Realms and Marvel Remix are two good alternatives. I don't know if you thought of any others.
Yeah, I don't really have any. I'm kind of scrolling through the list right now. I mean, there are other games that are, according to BGG, close to it that I like that I don't
think fill the hole.
That are not, that I don't think are anything like it. But Lost Cities and Love Letter and Arboretum, those are kind of all like classic card games that I really like, but I don't. They don't have that feel at all. There's no special powers. Like you draw a card and discard a card at the same time, but you don't have powers, so they don't feel the same to me. And you're not doing that like special power collection. So I don't really have anything that I feel has taken this spot. I don't know that it was a spot that I felt I needed a game to live, maybe.
Not a hole you needed to fill. Perfect. Perfect. All right. Well, then let's go back to our scores. So do you remember what you gave it?
I gave it a 4.
Yeah. And I gave it a 3, and definitely has come down since that. But I'm curious to see what's your current score now?
I was looking at it, and I don't know. I'm between. It's no more than a 2 for sure. 2 is game is okay, but not likely to hit the table. 1 is not fun. I would pass if asked to play. I feel like it must be a 1 if I was willing to sell it. If it was something I had and sold, like, but it could be a 2 that Nicole felt it was a 1 and I felt it was a 2. So I was like, well.
Which is a 1.5, but because Nicole has a heavier weight, it drops to a 1.
What are you saying about Nicole? Jeez.
Yeah. She wears the pants in the family. That's what I'm saying.
All right. It's a heavier weight, sorry.
Mass.
So I think it's somewhere between a 1 and a 2.
Yeah, you gotta come down.
I don't feel as strongly as I felt like Paleo when we literally would not finish the game. And so I don't know that it's that bad.
Yeah.
But does the bottom of 1, you know, that's the thing. Like the bottom of 1 doesn't have to be the same as the top of the 1. So I don't know. I guess it's probably a 1. It lives with, I don't know.
I think that's fine. So some of the stuff I'm starting to put in as a 2 is if I went to a board game convention and somebody was like, hey, do you want to play a game with me? Because I went to one in Richmond and I played a game called returns in taxes or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those, it was just like, it was fine. I know it's famous, but I played it. So that would be a Meeple Knight 2. I wouldn't want to play it. I'm not going to grab it myself. If somebody wanted to play it at a convention, I didn't know the guy and I wanted to get to know him or a girl or whatever, but like, yeah, I'll play it.
Yeah.
Red Rising, for me, it's a 1. If they bring it out, I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste all that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. I'll go find something else. I'm sorry. I'd like to get to know you, but not through Red Rising.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. And I agree. I think the ultimate problem, I guess for me, like if I put it in a nutshell, is that this is more game than it needs to be. It's heavier than it should be.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to talk about the timing. Be like, it's double the triple, if not even more, than what I would recommend as a game, like a 15-minute game. That's what this is. It's a 15-minute game that plays over an hour.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good.
Right. Yep.
Okay. All right. So Meeple Knight score combined is a 2.
Comes down from a 7.
Yeah. Because somebody was, that was back when somebody was super generous with all their scores. You're always that way. Yeah.
All right. I'm putting it in our scoring document. Oh, you have it there?
I already did it.
Oh,
I also jokingly put my score as a 5.
Oh, it put, what? It's not upload. Why is it doing
unacceptable?
Oh, well, while you
figure that out, get out of here. I'm going to do a very, very brief rules overview for our next game, also a Stonemaier game called Wingspan, which was made famous by Elizabeth Hargrave, who's gone on to do a bunch of other things. So in Wingspan, what you're trying to do is you have a field, aka your board. Your board is going to be used to put bird cards down in order to, you attract them by giving them food. You can put eggs on these birds in order to get points, and you can get more cards to kind of create this big engine style game. Now, very loosely, the game is, you have a certain number of little, what are they, like markers or whatever you use each turn. As the game progresses, you actually have fewer and fewer of those little cubes. So you have less actions each round, but you have more birds on your tableau that fire off. So theoretically, each round should be the same time, give or take. So it's an engine building game involving nature / birds that took the world by storm in 2019. Is that a fair rules overview,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the engine builder, tableau builder genre is just one that's really my favorite. And I think this one does it well, or as well as a lot of them do, that it's a fairly simple rules teach that I've introduced people who are not traditional gamers. Basically, I've introduced them to more difficult games with Wingspan. And it depends on the person. Sometimes when you're introducing people to heavier games, they are comfortable with just doing, you know, a couple practice rounds and then let's reset and play. Or some people want the whole rules teach, and I can do either one with Wingspan.
Yeah.
And not feel like, I don't know, you can get it's still 20 minutes-ish if it's somebody that's not a typical gamer, but at least that's what I found, because they'll ask lots and lots of questions, but that's okay. I'm getting off track.
No, I think that's fair. The one question I do have for you is, what expansions do you have? Like, how much of Wingspan do you have?
I have Europe and Oceania, although I haven't played the Oceania one.
Gotcha.
I do not have the big box and whatever came with that. I don't remember what came with it.
Nothing extra came with it.
I thought another expansion came out around that time. Asia? Didn't Asia come out with it? Because it had like a 2-player variant.
That was Oceania.
Are you sure? Because there was like a peacock on the cover for Wingspan Asia. And Oceania was the little kiwi bird or something, I think.
I don't see it listed as expansions. Am I losing my mind? I mean,
yeah, no, Wingspan don't have to answer Asia. That. Wingspan Asia definitely exists. I don't have it.
Okay. All right. I did. So I've got it all. Okay. And that kind of leads into the next point, which we'll get to in a second. But I actually wanted to echo a statement you had about non-gamers playing this. I've had multiple attendings talk to me when I was at UVA, like, hey, I played Wingspan. My wife and I played Wingspan. Like, how the hell did you get introduced to that?
Yeah.
Like, these are people that are going to Target or whatever. They see the cover, which Beth Sobel, I think, did some art, as well as a bunch of other people. They all deserve credit. And this is actually one of those where the art looks consistent throughout, unlike Red Rising, where there was some dissimilar. Now, some of that could very well be nature versus human faces. Human faces are hard. I mean, that's why I don't draw them.
Yeah.
But Wingspan is available.
You do draw birds? Just to be clear. And trees. And, okay.
My birds are the V's. They're fantastic. Christian loves them.
Really good seagulls.
They're great. I mean, I live in South Carolina. Okay. It's fine. So the fact that this is readily available in Target is a huge boon that a lot of people are getting introduced to this, and it's not too big of a bite that they can't play it themselves. Plus, there's a Swift pack or something like that. It's like, it teaches you to get up to speed quickly.
Yeah, we've used that a couple of times.
So that's also a helpful thing that people that are non-gamers can utilize to get up to speed with the game. And the rule book is clear and not many edge cases. And if there are, most of them are typically explained in the rule book. So I think rules and components are fantastic. That was a huge plus.
The components are also, I forgot about that. And easily upgradable. The only thing that in the box is not to your standards, at least, is the cardboard food chits.
Yep, which I upgraded the ones from Board Game Geek.
Yeah. So that I think is all well done. Honestly, I struggle on the negative side, I think. I think the negative side is probably what happens to a lot of successful games that have these giant decks, like the Terraforming Mars.
Bloat.
Yeah. You buy too many expansions and then it's not as good, basically.
Yep.
But I think, I thought Oceania, when it came out, it has recommended that you don't play with more than one expansion or something like that. I don't remember for sure. But
that's the issue I have with games that have bloat like that.
Yeah.
Because this game, they have in-game victory point cards, and it's all based on percentages. It tells you on there that you need something that has anatomy in its name, like the bird that has an anatomy in it, and the card will say it's 21% of the birds will have that. Yeah. Well, if you add in an expansion that doesn't have that same percentage, all of a sudden that has changed. That's modified.
Yeah.
So then you're keeping all your decks separate. Then at that point, you're not playing with some of the expansions that you've purchased. So the bloat becomes excess to the point, and this is something that gets into, it could be a discussion topic for all big boxes, but it gets to a point that Veronica and I haven't played this in probably a year now. I know we played it when we moved in, but we haven't played it in over a year because it's too big with the big box, with everything.
Yeah.
We just don't get it out.
Yeah. I mean, that was something that was on one of the YouTube channels I was watching just a couple of days ago about, I don't remember if it was about Wingspan or Terraforming Mars, but it was one of the two. And that's what they said is, you know, oh no, it's Everdell. The same issue. The big box comes out and you're all excited because it's going to be cool and it's got all this, it's got everything in it. And then it turns out you get the big box and it's actually harder to play because it's this big thing to come out and you got to sort through it all. And yeah, you would have been better off just getting the base game and playing it 10 times and being happy.
Yeah.
Moved.
Now, funny enough, I've played Everdell Complete Collection since the big box has come out, and I've played Terraforming Mars since the big box has come out.
Yeah.
With the same gaming group. But like, I've played both of those big boxes. You know what we haven't played? Wingspan.
Yeah.
It's just one of those. So that gets into the next thing. If you like this style of game, other recommendations, something a little bit heavier is going to be Terraforming Mars. Terraforming Mars is a fantastic tableau builder. And it's not as elegant, meaning the... what's the word I'm thinking of? not user.
I mean, yeah, I think there's just more. I don't know if there's more edge cases, but it's just
yes,
a little less clean of a game. Like I think Wingspan's target is more of a medium or lighter medium.
Yeah. So if you want a little heavier, the Terraforming Mars will fill that hole. Other alternative, again, for heavy would be Underwater Cities.
Yeah,
I think that's a good one for it. Now, the other one I thought of, I can't remember if you've played it or not, but Seasons.
I haven't played that yet. That's still on my to play list. It'll, maybe at Origins.
If they have it, I'd play it. I really like Seasons. So that's also a tableau builder, and it has dice that you're rolling for resources. It has, I would almost say, the same weight to it, but Seasons can also flex up to be more difficult. You can add in a little complexity. And then, so with Wingspan, you're adding in just more birds. You're giving you more stuff other than the wild resource for Oceana.
Yeah.
It's still relatively just, here's more stuff. You like this, here's more stuff.
Yeah.
Versus Seasons is giving you, oh, you want more flavor. So I know you like spice. All right, here's some more spices. But they're different. They're a little bit more complex and a little more heat associated with it. Think about your bourbons. Now you're talking about a single barrel or a barrel strength. It's got a little more juice. The expansion
isn't just a second bottle.
It's not. It's different. It's a different proof. Yeah. It's a different flavor. It's got a little more heat, a little more kick to it. So that's what Seasons will offer. So it's kind of a similar but different at the same time.
Gotcha. So
what you thought.
I will say for Wingspan, I did look up the rules while you were chatting through that.
Going on and on about bourbon. Going
droning, and I wasn't paying attention, honestly. But yeah, so Wingspan Oceana, it does recommend that you only mix two in the setup.
Okay.
So it says you can shuffle whatever you want, but it says if you own multiple expansions, you have a lot of bird cards! Each deck is balanced to work with the bonus cards from the base game. Blah, blah, blah. You may play with all expansions mixed in or mix and match any combination of two decks. So it doesn't explicitly say, but it's kind of, to me, seems like it's softly recommending that you just do two, which has its own problem that it's hard to, you have to shuffle them all together. So that means at the end of the game, you're sitting there looking for different. I mean, that's really the only way you can handle bloat with the way that they have chosen to expand the game.
Yeah. So. What did you, I can't remember on our original discussion, what did you think of the wild resource, the nectar?
I still haven't played with it.
Oh, okay.
That's why I didn't end up getting the Asia expansion, because I still haven't played the Australia one. I like the idea of it, but I don't know what it actually is like in implementation.
So it's wild. But it's only wild for a given round.
Wild.
Yeah, and I mean, nectar will give you all sorts of highs. It's like spice and doom. So, the one unique facet about it is it forces you, at the end of each round, because the game's played over four rounds, at the end of the round, you have to discard your nectar. So you use it or lose it.
Carry it, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah. So it's not a... It's not a complete wild, though. It's like nectar this round is caterpillars? Or is it... It is wild.
It is wild. But it
only lasts a round, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
It's fleeting.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I think it would be amiss if we didn't discuss it. So at this point, in 2024, a copy, a re-implementation of Wingspan has come out called Wormspan. What are your thoughts on Wormspan?
I haven't watched any videos on it, but I have zero interest. I saw it come out and it reminded me of when they did this with Century Spice. Mm-hmm. They made a Golem edition and it just drives me nuts, because I get it.
Like money,
right? They like money, but I guess I also get it, because maybe there's gamers who are saying, I will never play this game unless it's Fantasy Edition. And
Camilla from the Dice Tower.
So I know how this is where this is going. She likes Wormspan, obviously.
She does. it's more than, for the listeners out there, Wormspan is worms being a dragon reference. Yeah. It it's more than just a here's different art, different style. It adds a few different mechanisms. It's meant to be a little bit heavier, so that goes into what I said about seasons having that extra little juice to it. That's what this offers. There's a middle board that you can actually move around. It's a rondelle that you can gain actions and stuff like that. So there are some more features to it, but I actually agree with you. As soon as I saw it come out or got word of it, this is one of the few Stonemaier games I'm like, I'm passing. I don't need it. I'm not playing Wingspan. And it's not like I'm not playing Wingspan because it's always too easy. I'm not playing it. Don't need Wormspan if I'm not playing Wingspan.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I show just like looking at the art. I mean, it is well done art. But it does not draw me in the same way that Wingspan does. And I think it's just the disconnect of reality where they've come up with or found in different mythologies.
Yeah.
I don't know, hundreds of dragons. And I have no connection to any of them.
And I'm the problem is none of them are Pokemon.
Yeah. The real problem is... They could just make Pokespan, and we could do it the right
way. I would 1,000,000,000% buy Pokespan. Yeah. Or the dragon from Dragon Ball Z. That guy was badass.
I don't know. I don't know who that is.
What?
I wasn't a Dragon Ball Z guy. I know.
Gundam? Like, you had to have some type of anime. Nothing. Wow. You're a loser.
I mean, just
did you have friends?
That's an interesting question coming from an anime discussion. I watched Avatar a little bit. The Airbender.
You're talking about the blue people. I get it. Yeah. Avatar.
But no, I did Pokemon, and then that was kind of it for me.
Okay. So, Wingspan. I gave this a 4 originally, and I'm going to keep it there. I can't go off of it. Even though I haven't played it as much, I still think it's a really good game. I'm always willing to play it. It's not the best game that I have in my collection. I've never rated it in my own personal rankings. It was never a 9. Like, even when I first played it, it never hit 9s. It's a good game. It's a really good game. I'll always play it if somebody wants to play it. I don't care if you're going to have the expansion or not. So that's actually a positive, is I like base game still. And that's one of the things, like, sometimes you play base game enough, you're like, all right, I need more. And I kind of want to be like the Dave Chappelle, the guy, as he's scratching his neck, you got some more. I'm not that way with Wingspan. I'm still going to play the base game, and I think that's a testament to the game itself. So it deserves a 4. It was a 4 before. It's staying at 4. And for you, it's going to be a 5. Tell us why.
Yeah, you already know. Yeah,
this when stays you know, a 5. You know. I mean, you're the same idiot that gave Paleo a 3.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, this stays in my top 10 contentions every time. Whether it actually makes it into top 10 or not, kind of depends on how I'm feeling that particular ranking cycle, I guess. But this is always one that I just enjoy introducing to people while still getting my fix of thinking engine builder a little bit further down the line. And so any game that I can find that kind of straddles the middle there where it satisfies, where it fills the holes of the people who like games, and it fills my holes at the same time.
Oh my god.
This is a family friendly show. I'm talking about like the gopher holes, you know, like whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, that's why it stays up there. The art's compelling. I really don't have anything bad to say about it. I've only played with the base game in Europe combined, and they're mixed in my collection.
You played the base game in Europe? You flew to Europe and played the base game?
Or is apostrophe N. Played the base game in Europe. Maybe it would change if I played some of the extra expansions, but
okay,
I haven't, so it stays
in. That's okay. And there's more to come. They've already said that there's more expansions coming down the road.
Well, they still have Africa and South America.
And they're doing a made-up world. That's not Wormspan.
That's Wormspan. They are.
It is, and that's also part of the problem.
If it doesn't involve Articuno and Zapdos, what's the point?
Gosh, it does need Pokemon. I think, unfortunately, at some point, this is going to jump the shark. I think that kind of ties into the discussion on the big box, though, is you have too much stuff. It's just you're running out of material, and you're losing followers, listeners as a result, players, whatever you want to call it. So I do think it's good. So Wingspan gets a Meeple Knight 9, which is exactly what it got last time.
Yeah.
Yep. So average of a 4.5, and depending on how Nicole waits, decides whether it's a 4 or 5.
No, this... Yeah. I mean, we played this with our friends in Seattle and a couple times and really liked it. So I think, I don't know. I'm guessing she would be a 5. I'll go ask her when we're done.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's helpful to listeners that have been stuck through us through the terrible times and the continued terrible times of season 2. Again, this is meant to how do we go back? How do we, with the knowledge we've gained through the years, how do we look at the games and can we do a better job? Are we the same gamers that we were back then? How has our palette changed?
Yeah. What games stand up over time?
And what games blow, like Red Rising, Paleo? what was that other crappy game we played?
Andor.
Gosh. Great TV series. Board game.
I was going to mention it, but I didn't remember if it was one that we had reviewed. Oh, we did review it.
Oh, and I gave it a 2 and
you gave it a 1, yeah.
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 Yeah. The fact that you gave it a 2 signifies that's really trash. So technically, Andor is worse than Paleo. Well, yeah. I think
that was. Ugh. I mean, I know that's not what we're talking about today, but Paleo was because I really enjoyed it when I played it solo. And I modified one rule or something like that because I thought it made no sense. And so I said, that's not thematically appropriate. So I'll do my own thing. And now it's a 3.
See, you and Veronica love these house rules. We played Ascension the other night, and she wanted the house rules because the center deck was like all these expensive cards at the beginning of the game. And I wouldn't let her. I was like, the flop is the flop. It's just like if you're playing Texas Hold'em, you can't just say, oh, these cards don't work for me. I want a redo. It's not how that works.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know. It depends for me. If it's a competitive game, then I would agree. If it's, which I think Ascension is.
Yes.
But yeah, in a co-op game, I don't feel as strongly. If it depends, like I'm not trying to break rules to make it easy specifically, but if it's something that seems thematically like disconnected
it's
to me.
It's just poorly. And, the solo mode was added to gain that that section of Board Game Geek to say, oh, you can play and solo.
Yeah.
That's all that is. But anyways, for solo games, both Red Rising and Wingspan are soloable. They're both by Altoma Factory.
Yeah, I think that's right.
They're good. They're good. They're good solo. So if you are a solo gamer, Red Rising is fine. You can find it pretty darn cheap now. And for Wingspan, also quite good. For solo, and that's also rated 25th overall, by the way. We forgot to mention that. So good games. We're glad we revisited them. Anything else you want to say before we bounce?
I'm just going to remind everybody that I still didn't prep my outro, so it's still going to be trash.
Oh, my goodness. Join us next time. We're going to discuss something that we haven't even discussed amongst ourselves. Our goal is since we did our top 10 at the beginning of season 2, we'll have a discussion topic. We'll try to do a review game, and then we'll do some look back on some of the games we had last time. We'll try to do something like this. There might be times where we have a couple discussion topics because I keep coming up with a bunch of them, and I kind of like more talking about games than playing games sometimes. Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially like in this format, I agree. I think it's easier to either talk 30 seconds about a game or just talking about stuff generally.
Yeah. And we have what have we been playing? That's also in the realm. So there's actually 4 things within the.
Oh, good. So we're only going to have one more review game. Before I move. Because every other week. Yeah.
Review game coming down the pipe is Endless Winter.
We should do the other one first.
I don't remember the other one.
Metro, Let's Make a Bus Route, the United States version. I can't remember what it's called right now.
America.
Bus Route.
It is. It's shoot. I don't know what it is.
Let's get on board.
Get on board.
Get on board.
No, it's not let's get on board.
Get on
don't board. Give me a command.
Little get on children, board. Let's get on board.
Get on down. Get on down the road. All right, what's the outro?
All right.
Bourbon. Well,
thanks.
He's
for
not in Roback, by the way, people.
That's Under Armour training.
I thought you were going to say it's under my shirt.
But always. No. Oh, man. There was a new commercial with the coach from LSU, Coach O. He was in a Roback commercial. I don't know if you've seen that one yet.
That's good.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Roback is fire stuff. Hit us up, Roback. We want more than 20%.
Yeah, and we want a Meeple Night specific shirt, obviously. Little board game meeples. Oh, that'd be sweet. That'd be sick.
No, but in my little Dipper thing I made, I'm proud of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see if that sold them this week. But thanks for listening, everybody.
We just lost the rest of our listeners.
And we'll be back in roughly a fortnight or so.
Good night and good luck.
You know that moment when you didn't have the music ready to go?
I literally killed like 5 minutes allowing you to prep for this. Listeners, I am so sorry.
Oh, man. Yeah, and the worst part is that we also have to continue to stall and give some time because the music has like a 30-second buildup because it's just kind of playing really soft in the background right now. But here we go.
Some light.
Here it comes.
Here it is. I gotta do the cat thing again.
Thanks for listening to Meeple Night. Today's episode was recorded on April 4th, 2024 and uploaded using Riverside FM and Anchor. Our theme music is All Night by Declan DP, provided by Audio Library Plus, which provides free and safe music for content creators. For all the latest from Meeple Night, follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook group, or email us at meeplenightpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So until then, dream a little dream of games.